Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
This morning at the 9:11 a.m. services, we have your campus pastor, Pastor Rick Van Sant, is going to be preaching. I'm preaching the 4 and 6, so we're splitting the preaching today. So would you give a big hand to Pastor Rick, your campus pastor, as he comes up.
Thank you. Sit down, Maddie. You're near to the queue. Welcome. Good morning. It's so good to be here. I pay him out, but this guy ran an incredible youth camp only last week. It was like, yeah, come on, give him a hand. Our young people did such an amazing job at youth camp only a week and a bit ago, and Matt and the team did such an awesome job. Our youth camp and all events are run 99% by volunteers. It's like, it's an incredible culture that they have there. And I got the chance to go to youth camp for a couple of the night sessions and one of the afternoons with Beck and Rose. We went along as well, and it was absolutely awesome. And the presence of God was just like, it was so tangible in that room. And if you have young people that were at camp, or if you're parents of some of the leaders at our youth camp, man, I would be so proud of your young people, because the culture and atmosphere at our youth camp was phenomenal. And it was just, the presence of God was so real and so tangible in that place. And trust me, I've been on plenty of camps in my days, and you know, it's always about getting away from home and getting up to mischief. And yes, there's obviously some worship and stuff like that in there as well, but the atmosphere at this camp was incredible, and I'm so excited to see what God's going to do in the lives of our young people. I mean, we saw a couple of the testimonies there of what happened at camp, and the healings that we saw at camp. And man, that's just only the beginning. I mean, they have such a culture of faith and expectation in our youth group here. And am I tinny? I don't know. I'm just getting some bad fallback. And it was, the culture and atmosphere there was just amazing. And so I want to commend these guys, but commend you if you're the parents of young people, because they came with faith. They came expecting to get a touch of God. Our leaders were there, Lord, down on the altar receiving from God, but then from that moment they were out. They were praying over other people. They were praying over our youth. I saw 12, 13-year-olds standing with each other, praying for them, prophesying over each other, then standing by arm in arm as they're being, someone else is praying for them. It's just, it was so unbelievable seeing that, and I'm so expectant and full of faith for what God is going to do in the lives of our young people, hey? And I want to encourage you as the body, you know, keep our young people in your prayers, because they're facing challenges and temptations that, let's be honest, that we just didn't face when we were kids. You know, we all had our own temptations in our own season, but the stuff is so real and in your face in their lives, and the enemy wants to grab a stranglehold on the lives of our young people to prevent a touch of God happening. And so we need to commit them in prayer. We need to be remembering our young people, investing into them in the spiritual realm. So keep them in prayer, and keep our leaders, our youth leaders, in your prayers as well. They're doing an amazing job, and they need your prayers behind them. All right? And I've got to add a little sort of funny thing that happened as well. Beck and I went along in the afternoon, and you know, Rose obviously wanted to go on the inflatable, not me. So Rose was on the inflatables, and they've got there, and some of the young people were doing backflips and stuff like that. And me, as a competitive person, I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, I reckon I can still do that. I used to be able to do it. Pretty sure I can still do it. And so, you know, I did a backflip. I did about 6 or 7 of them. Come on, I think that's pretty good. I managed to do it. But I'm telling you the truth, that even this morning, I'm still feeling the pain in my neck from that movement. So there's a good reason I shouldn't be still doing that sort of stuff. So it's good. Well, this morning, I want to preach to us about something that I'm very passionate about. And I want to preach to us about just the whole realm of being called into community. And this is something that, you know, I am passionate about, the local church being a healthy, vibrant atmosphere and being a community to all people from all walks of life. And so this morning, I want to speak into that area. We're heading into Connect Group Start next week. And so we're excited for everything that represents, giving people an opportunity to come back together in the formal setting of Connect Groups. And if you're interested, we have a stand out the back if you want to chat to any of our team, and there'll be a bunch of Connect leaders afterwards. But this this morning I want us to speak into that whole area of community. You know, we were designed to be in community. You know, God created us to be in community. You know, Genesis 2:18 says, right at the beginning of the Bible, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. Even the concept of God is community. The Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. He is community in his own person. You know, Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. I mean, that's community there. And there are plenty of examples right throughout the Bible. Scripture is all about community. God chose the Israelites to be his people. It says in Leviticus 26:12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. These people, they lived in worship and community with God. They lived together with him. Following the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Christ, you know, God then instituted the church, which is the body of Christ, as a community of believers. And it says 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And we see in Acts where the early church was birthed right at the beginning of that of the church. You know, God gives us a model for how to not only do church, but to do life. You know, the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they met together. They met in homes and ate together. And they also met in large groups for corporate worship. You know, they lived, as a result, they lived in favor, not only with God, but with the people around them as well. You know, and so this morning I want to share around a passage in the New Testament. And it's a passage which I find sort of full of context in community, you know, and I'm reading this scripture and I just want to pull out a few points out of it. And it comes out of Mark 2 and it's from verse 1 to 12. And it says this, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. What an awesome passage of scripture, hey? And now the first thing I want to share from this passage is that community is the catalyst for transformation. It's a catalyst for an encounter, for restoration, and for healing. You see, we actually don't know anything about this man other than he was a paralyzed man. That's all we get told. But what we definitely know is this, that if this man was not a part of community, there is no way he would have got his miracle or been in the scriptures. You know, yes, we obviously have faith that Jesus can heal and he didn't need to be there to heal him. And that's proven multiple times throughout the scriptures. But the whole point of this story is that there was community with him. And it was out of that community that had faith that this guy saw his healing. You know, the catalyst for this life-transforming moment was that this man, the catalyst for this life-transforming moment for this man was the faith of his friends. You know, verse 5 says this, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. It didn't say seeing his faith, it says seeing their faith. And I find that incredible. You know, this man had people who knew his problems, right? They knew the issues that were going on in his life. We don't know how long they'd been a part of his life, how long they'd been friends, you know, but it was obvious he chose to be vulnerable with them. You know, they chose to stick with him and believe for the breakthrough. You know, it could have been a brother, a friend. We don't know, but we do know that they were close enough to him to be looking for a solution. You know, these guys, they would have been out there in the community and they heard about this Jesus fella. They would have heard these stories. It says that the word just went out so fast. They would have heard this rumor that this guy was around and people were getting healed. And it's so obvious that the first thing they thought of was, we got to get back to our mate. Like, we got to get there. We got to grab him. We got to bring him to this Jesus guy because we have faith that he can heal him. And so they gathered this guy together and they were looking for a solution. They did whatever it took to get him in front of Jesus. You know, and this is the goal for community. That these guys weren't perfect and neither are we. You know, but we can all believe with each other for your breakthrough. You know, it was the community this guy put himself in that was the catalyst for him to receive his encounter. You know, it was his encounter both with Jesus to get full restoration in his life. His sins were forgiven and he got healed. Right? Community is so often the catalyst for our transformation. You know, going back to our experience at camp last week with our young people, right? A group of people unified in purpose and in faith is a hotspot for miracles and for healing. You know, the vibrant, passionate atmosphere that was there where people are gathered together, there's momentum in that. These guys just had a faith that was building and building because the community, the believers, had faith that people could see a breakthrough, that people could see a miracle in their lives. You know, there was a trust, there was a vulnerability that the longer they're at this at places like camp, you know, people start to open up, be fully vulnerable with each other. And it's in that place where we're able to pray over each other, to see healing, to get their breakthrough. Our walls have come down and therefore we're open to being able to be vulnerable to God. You know, the second point here is community creates carriers. You know, and in community there's so often a great sense of accomplishment and celebration. There's something powerful and something that draws you in about co-laboring. You may think it's better doing things alone, but we just can't be found to do alone. It was never what we were designed to do. You know, in this story of Mark 2, five people got to be a part of this miracle. The man and his four friends. These four friends were the carriers in order to see their friend receive his breakthrough. It's never been about doing it ourselves. We've got to realize that God could do it himself if he wanted to. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to be a part of the miracle. He wants you and me to be a part of the miracle of someone else, part of their breakthrough. He wants us to be in that place of community. And that's the awesome thing. You know, the point of community is this, that it doesn't matter how big or small your part is, how insignificant you think your part is, but it takes every one of us playing our part in the midst of community to be able to see God work, to be able to see and be a part of that miracle. You know, when I first came to a church like this when I was an 18-year-old, it was the young adult community of passionate young people that attracted me to church. It was the joy in the community with each other, and the passion for God was so contagious. That I grew up in a Christian church, but that was something that I wanted that. There was so much power and passion in that community that I wanted to be a part of it. If I could have a part of that, that to me was like, that's what church should be like. Passion for God, loving him every day of the week, not just on a Sunday. That was so attractive to me, and that's what drew me in. But you know, it wasn't that that kept me in. It was then that I had my encounter with God. It was in that place, after I was opened up through being invited into community, it was then that I became vulnerable after God so he could do a work in me. You know, I came from a Dutch Reformed, conservative, small church, and I walked straight into a full-blown Pentecostal, Spirit-filled worship service. You know, I had my theology that I had to sort of work out in the process, but it was the passion for God that was just so contagious. And I'm like, everything else I can figure out, but that is something that I want. You know, it was in that place. It was in that place that I wanted to get involved, that I just could not serve. You know, I couldn't just sit there and watch. I had to be involved because I'd been so touched and blessed by the community around me that had drawn me in that I wanted to then be able to be that to other people around me. I wanted to be on New People, New Christians, help out at youth because I wanted to be able to help others find the God that I had discovered, find that personal relationship with Him. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 to 10 says this, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." And I love this. It's so powerful. So to show love for one another, to open up your home. God has given you gifts. Now it's on you to use them to serve others. And it's when we use our gifts to serve others, it's in that place that we become carriers. Third thing this morning is community carries those who are in need. You know, not only were we created to be in community, but we also need community. We need to trust, rely on, and depend upon other believers. God gave us each other to walk alongside, to encourage and spur one another on in the faith. Like in this passage, the paralyzed man needed his friends to carry him. Otherwise, he never would have received his miracle. He had no answer. And it's the same for us. When we're in that place of need, whether physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, we need to be found in community so that we can be supported and carried by that community. The Bible is so full of encouragement and instruction to us, the church, to be there to carry those who are in need. Let me read to you a few scriptures which are all directing us to carry and support those around us. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, we read, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." James 5, 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Yeah. In Galatians 6, 2, we are encouraged to carry each other's burdens. Yeah. Romans 12, 13 says, "When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." And verse 15 says that we are to rejoice and to mourn with each other. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, we read, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone." And in 1 Corinthians 12, we see that though society might tell us that we can do life on our own, God's word tells us that we simply cannot function without each other. We need each other and we need community. For me, my passion and belief in this whole concept of community didn't just come from a biblical understanding. So I grew up in church and, like I said before, a conservative, smaller church, but I was that little kid running around, just like my daughter does now. And sort of I grew up in that environment. I grew up in an environment where we were going out as community, going out to people's places for lunch and coffee after church. We were a part of community. So when my mum died when I was 10 years old, one of the things I so clearly remember is the community that gathered around us in that moment. You know, it was the community that were there for us every moment, loving and supporting me and my family. I remember us as a family sleeping on the floor of one of Dad's best friends from church for a week after Mum passed away because it was just that way we were a part of it, like we were part of family. You know, and that people gathering constantly around us, providing for us in that time of need. It just so showed me, even as a young kid, I still can visualize it today, the power of a community gathering around people when they're in a place of need. You know, and for myself, I have never once doubted God's love for me or my family because of what I experienced and what was modeled to me back then. Through the tough times and whatever situations happen, yes, we're going to all hit roadblocks, but we can never doubt God's love and incredible love for us. And to me, that was modeled through community, through my local church community. And so that's what I encourage each of us. We're here to provide and build community for each other. We're all going to go through tough times at some time or another. Let's be a community that is supporting and scaffolding each other and there for each other in those times. And it was the same for Beck and I through our fertility journey and adoption. Anybody who has been down that path at all understands how isolating it can be and the roller coaster ride that that journey can be. For Beck and I, we made the decision to be open and to be vulnerable with those who are close to us, with our connect group and others in our close circle, because we wanted them to stand with us, to pray with us, to be able to hold us when we were going through our struggles and journey. And you know what? I have made it my life's mission to try to be that person for other people as well. I'm not perfect by any means, but it's my passion to see a community where we stand around each other, where we can put our arm around someone else when they're going through something. Perhaps for you, if you're in need, the breakthrough you are believing for, your miracle could be found in community. Like this paralyzed man, he needed his community in order to receive his miracle. Can you imagine if he had been stubborn, embarrassed by the situation, not wanting to be dragged out in a mat in front of people, seeing the full room and going, we'll be right. You know, being the thought of being dropped down into it through a roof in front of all these other people, he didn't know he was going to get the miracle. He believed it. He didn't know it. Imagine if at any point he had said, nah, I'm out. Let's not do this. He would never have been a part of the scriptures. He never would have received his miracle. But let's read verse 12 and what it says here, because maybe there is a bunch of people out there who need encouraging in their faith by seeing your miracle, by seeing your breakthrough. Verse 12 here says, and the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. How many people do you think were touched and impacted as a result of that miracle, as a result of the faith of that man and of his friends? You know, so many people would have walked out of that place and been telling everybody. That word would have gone out even more powerful about the story of the bloke that came through the roof that got healed and walked out of there. That miracle would have been something that families would have been telling their kids for generations afterwards. I guarantee you, if you saw that right in front of you, your miracle and your breakthrough might just be found in a place of community where it's, yes, to bless you, but it might be there to bless others as well. The fourth thing this morning is community isn't a curse, it's a cure. And I know that even the mention of the word community in church can make some people roll their eyes and offer tolerant smiles and nods, but really you're just hanging out for me to change the subject and for the service to end. You know, because I get it. It can be painful. Being a part of community can be vulnerable, you know, but Christian community is supposed to be simply sharing a common life in Christ. It moves us beyond the self-interested isolation of private lives and beyond the superficial social contacts that pass for Christian fellowship. The biblical ideal of community challenges us instead to commit ourselves to life together as the people of God. Community is a cure to the loneliness epidemic that has riddled our world. And I want to share with you some stats from the Australian Loneliness Report. This was legit. That was done in 2018. When directly asked how lonely they felt, 50.5% of Australians reported they felt lonely for at least a day in the previous week. 27.6% felt lonely for three or more days in a week. Nearly 30% rarely or never felt they were a part of a group of friends. One in four, 25.5%, do not feel they have a lot in common with the people around them. How sad is that? You know, but these are very real stats. And here are four of the health risks that were identified through one of the most credible and extensive studies into loneliness in the past decade. This is a serious topic. This is not something you just pulled up from Wikipedia. This is something that is a massive growing issue in our world. Listen to these.
Living alone and poor social connections are as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Loneliness is worse for you than obesity. Lonely people are more likely to suffer from dementia, heart disease, and depression. And loneliness is likely to increase your risk of death by 29%. How full on are those stats? And I know it can come across as morbid listening to this, but it shows you how critically important community is in our society and our culture today, well beyond the walls of the church. But we as the church have been given a model of what community is supposed to look like, right? But you know, it's such a common thought in church sometimes when people say, I'm good with God, but I just don't like people. We've heard that way too often. But people, they just want to keep others at arm's length. They're scared. They're fearful. You know, so often it is either fear or it's pride that are holding us back from entering into community. It's either pride saying, can I trust you for who you are? Or it's fear saying, can I really trust them to accept me for who I am? And today we want to pray for you later on that maybe even today can be the day for you to start on your path to restoration, opening up again to possibly being a part of a community. Now, when we talk about church community, one of my favorite passages is found in Acts 2, and it's an example for us of how to live and how to act. Acts 2 says this from verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I love this passage of Scripture because in the NLT, it's literally even titled, The Believers Form a Community. I love that. Now that is church, isn't it? You know, and I love it because it gives us a biblical model of how to do church. In verse 46, it says they worship together at the temple. That's their large corporate worship services. You know, and it's even scholars believe that in that time where this scripture is spoken about, that the early church had got to such great numbers that there were over 100,000 people meeting together in those corporate services at the temples. How incredible is that? And then they met in people's homes. You know, that was the next tier. They met in small groups in people's homes. And it's there that they broke bread. It was there where there was joy and praise and fellowship together. So what we do here at Nations Church is nothing new. You know, we have our larger worship services, which is church, which is this. But we totally understand that it's so strong to build long-lasting personal relationships and strong community with so many people around and having so many services on a Sunday. And so we encourage you to be a part of a few things in order to help you find community. Firstly, is you can join a serving team. Now, obviously, that helps to be able to put services on and fill roles. But more importantly than that is a serving team is an environment where you get to meet people and be a part of a small group community that you just wouldn't otherwise encounter. It's what helped me get integrated into the life of church. Serving in every area was what enabled me to find community, to find some of my best mates. Over the years have been made because of serving in teams. Some of my best relationships are there because I met them while serving. You know, secondly is our revival prayer meetings. Pastor Ken's spoken of that before. It's on tomorrow night. Our prayer nights have quickly become a core culture of our church. And every time we meet together in prayer, we take time to stand together with brothers and sisters, you know, and pray for your needs. We meet corporately, we pray for things that are in need for us as a corporate church, but then we also all the time take an opportunity to pray for you as an individual. We give you the opportunity to respond in your place of need. And I love the environment that is created there, that there's brothers and sisters standing hands on shoulders of people that they didn't even know, praying for them, believing with them that they can see their miracle come to fruition. And it's not a weird thing. It's not intimidating, and no one is going to force you to or impose themselves on you in any sense in that environment. It's a safe place. But the Holy Spirit is so real and tangible in those meetings. So please let me encourage you to be a part of our prayer community. And thirdly is our connect groups. You know, we are unapologetically a connect group church. We love and honor all our team who help host and lead connect groups in all varieties. I love their heart. People of all walks of life who have opened up their homes and their lives to create a space where they can build small group community. That's doing church. It's in connect groups where you're going to be able to regularly meet and build relationships, just like we see in the Acts 2 church. It's also there that you're able to hear encouraging great messages from Pastor Ken and Chrissy through the videos that we do. You know, we have the opportunity in Connects all the time to share our experiences, to share our journey with each other. You know, you can celebrate your good times. You can celebrate the things that are going well in your life. But it's also a place where we can journey those tough times too. Where you have other people who can help you navigate those struggles in life. Can I encourage you in 2020 to consider joining a Connect, to consider stepping up in any area, to consider that stirring that God's doing in your heart, whatever that looks like. You know, we are never going to force people to be a part of anything, but our passion is to see people found in community. And they're the models which are incredibly built to be able to help people find community. And I'd love to see you in a healthy Connect environment. You know, it's all good and well for me to tell you about how good Connects are, but I've got an incredible testimony from someone and what Connect actually did in their life. And as the team come up with me, I want to read this testimony. This lady says here, "I first attended a Connect group back in 2018 after I started coming to Nations. I actually met the Connect group leader when I was in church and she was sitting right in front of me. Initially, I was planning to join the Connect group, but I struggled to get there as I just relocated from Malaysia to Perth. It was a rollercoaster ride for me when I first moved here as I had to start all over again, getting used to the environment and knowing people and making friends. When I was introduced to the Connect group, I went on their first Connect of the year last year, and I was greeted immediately and everyone made me feel so comfortable. The warmth and peace that I felt from everyone made me feel a lot like being back at my home church in Malaysia. During that period, I'd just gotten pregnant and was having really bad morning sickness. But the Connect group was so nice that they prayed for my sickness and the girls in my group always checked up on me and asked if I needed anything. The support I got from the Connect was awesome and made me feel I am not alone. Not long after I joined, my husband, who's not a Christian yet, came and joined me at one of the Connects where we had a get-together dinner. And we had that dinner party at our place. And during that time, I wanted to have the group come to pray over my house. And to my surprise and without question, my husband said, go ahead. The guys in the group were so very welcoming to him and they hit it off very fast. Even though my husband is a FIFO worker, the week that he is off is our Connect week. And ever since that dinner party, he comes with me to Connect Group and stays there the whole time listening to the word and hearing each of us share what God is doing in our lives. Although he is still skeptical and does not believe in the word just yet, him being in the presence of us all at Connect is such a big step. I am so very grateful that God has sent people at the perfect time in my life and that we can make life together as family in Christ." Isn't that amazing? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Why don't you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.